You be strong, hold your head up.
charming one. Troubadours, whatever we were doing, Americana artists, it's around 2000 we burst onto the scene with our first efforts, 98, 99, 2000, And so that's 25 years ago, if you can believe that. I have a hard time believing that. And my brilliant career move was to write a country song called Drag Queens in Limousines. Name a record after it and see what happened. Well, you know, it's being re-released by two labels this year, so I guess it went all right. Come to me and asked me if they could release it on vinyl. It wasn't out on vinyl, because if you remember around that time, the record companies convinced us vinyl was over. I have two regrets in life. One was quitting piano lessons, and the other was getting rid of my vinyl. But vinyl's coming back in a sort of way, and so these two record companies, one in the States, one in the UK and Europe, are putting this record out of mine on vinyl to celebrate its 25th anniversary. So we're sort of calling this the 25th anniversary tour. I want to introduce you to Jamie Harris. When Robbie and I talked about doing some shows together, we realized that we sort of came to the business a little later than most, in our mid-30s. In the music business, that's pretty unheard of to start then. That's when most musicians are starting to get burnt out. I moved to Nashville when I was 40 to pursue music and song full time, and I've been there since 2001. So that's a little bit about me. We'll play some newer songs for y'all. This one is called The Meadow. I'm from South Louisiana. Born in New Orleans, raised in Baton Rouge. A lot of my songs take place on the Gulf Coast. It's where my dreams take place a lot of the times, too. Highway 90 westbound. In the falling dark. Beautiful scars. of God. Won't you meet me in the meadow? Can I look up at the stars? Lean into the wind, dream again, find out who we are. Won't you meet me in the meadow? For those of you that have been following what I've been up to, a lot of you know that I've been a part of a nonprofit called Songwriting with Soldiers for quite a while, going on 15 years. It's an organization. Yeah, it's a beautiful organization. It pairs professional songwriters with wounded veterans at retreat centers around the country. We do a lot of retreats right here at Boulder Crest Retreat Center. And what we do is help wounded veterans articulate what they're going through in a song. And part of the work that I've done there has been honored with a Grammy nomination. I felt around 2017 like I'm sitting on all these songs and I'd like to make a record of some of them. The organization itself has over 1,000 songs. I was heading towards 60 songs written through that organization and with the veterans. And they gave me permission to do it. So I put out this record called Rifles and Rosary Beads. It really received a lot of attention at the time in 2018. Jamie and I found ourselves in Los Angeles going to the Staples Center, what was it called back then? I don't know, it goes through names. There we were. And the important thing about that is that the veterans' stories got the attention and the program, Songwriting with Soldiers, got the attention and it's been able to grow and reach a lot more people. And that is huge to me. I'm going to play a song I wrote, not with the veterans, but with some spouses, some military spouses. I sat with a group of six women married to veterans, all of them wounded in some form. And as the wives started talking to me, what I heard them say is there's a war after the war. And this is really their words. I just sort of Rubik's cubed it into something that rhymes. It's their story. And this is how it goes. Who's gonna care for the ones who care for the ones who went to war? There's landmines in the living room, eggshells on the floor. Lost myself in the shadow of your honor and your pain. You stare out of the window as our dreams go. Invisible, the war after the war. so much. So I was invited by St. Martin's Press to write a book, and I always thought of myself as an author, but I had never written a book. And I'm an avid reader, and in my heart of hearts, I always wanted to write a book. And so they gave me this opportunity. And this book that I wrote is called Saved by a Song. It's about the healing power of songwriting. For me, music and song has always been more than just a form of entertainment. And certainly for the veterans we've worked with over the last 15 years, it's a lot more than entertainment. It's a bridge to other people's hearts and souls. And music and song is a form of empathy when it's firing on all cylinders, and it can bring us together in ways that are truly powerful. And I wrote about that. It's also a memoir of sorts. It's about my recovery. I got into recovery in 1990 and became a songwriter and used music and song to help me understand how I ended up in the situation I was in. And then I used music and song to help me to move through what I was going through. It's a form of alchemy if you get into it really and start to look behind the curtain. Music can take some of the hardest, most painful things that can happen to human beings and alchemize it into something beautiful that is useful to people going through hard stuff. That is a form of magic, really. And ever since I first started writing songs, people ask me, Mary, does the music come first for you, or is it the words? And my answer is, well, there's no rules in this thing. It's different every time I start. I just start where I can, when I can, however I can. And the starting place, it doesn't matter anyway. Look, if I knew where the great songs came from, I'd go ahead and move in. But here's what I do know. Artists are like firemen, or firewomen, or non-binary fire people. When the rest of the world is running away from an explosion, we run to it, and we report back from it. Artists feel the heat, we touch the burn. We write the thing we have to write, the story we're on fire for, the one that breaks our own heart, the one only we can tell. And the ask will always be this, no matter how many songs you've written, each time the struggle is going to be to get back to that singular place where it's just you and the fire. I teach songwriting a lot, and I help guide older songwriters to that terrifying place of vulnerability where the truth resides. In the book, I call it the fire. It's a vulnerability that makes songs great, and I love working with songwriters, and I love teaching songwriting. I love talking about songwriting, and I love songwriting. This next song I'm gonna play for you came out of an obituary. It was the damnedest thing. I read an obituary about a hobo named Steam Train, and his name, Christian name, was Maurice Graham. But everybody on the rails knew him as Steam Train Maury. And he had a headline obituary in the New York Times that said, Steam Train Maury Graham, King of the Hobos, dead at age 89. And boy, did that grab me. I thought two things. One, there's still hobos out there? And two, how did he become king? How does that work? And so I read it, and I found out that North American hobos gather every year in a little town called Britt, Iowa. And at the hobo gathering, which has happened for over 100 years, every summer, in Britt, Iowa, they gather and they elect their king. The candidates are self-nominated. Voting is done with a show of applause. And Steam Train Maury was elected king more times than any other man. I wanted to find out more about him. He really intrigued me. to a steam train looking like Santa Claus the day after Christmas. I stared at that picture a little while, and I realized he had a hold on me. His eyes reminded me of Willie Nelson's eyes. I got to spend 2 weeks opening shows for Willie in England, and the same sort of thing around the eyes. Charisma. Mischievous eyes. Interesting. The kind of eyes heterosexual women fall into against their better judgment. I wish I would have had a chance to sit next to this guy and talk to him, but steam train Maury died last night. His wife Wanda by his side. Called a westbound out of here. Popped the high irons to the by and by. They say he jumped 10,000 trains and rode 1,000,000 miles for free. Helped out at VA hospital. Dandy Dave, rusty nails, and sweet lady sugar cane. Dead Eye Kate and the baloney kid. Raise a cup tonight in steam train's name. Senators and congressmen, puppets on a string. Among windswept vagabonds, old steam train was the king. He was the last.
Steam train, Maury. Hold that westbound tide.
off into history. The last hobo, the last ride of life. I had the great privilege of writing a song with Vince Gill in Nashville, and I went over to his house, and he said he had this idea that he'd been sitting on to work with me on. He said he got it after he did a show with Mavis Staples, and they left the, the great Mavis Staples, everybody's goddess of love and peace. We adore Mavis at our house, and Vince feels the same way. He said as they were leaving the stage, Mavis grabbed his arm and said to him, Vince, son, we have seen some times, haven't we? Seen some times. And Vince said, Mary, what if we wrote a song called Some Times? I'm like, cool, man. Mavis said it. You like it? Let's do it. So he said, okay, cool. I got this little guitar thing, and he played it. And he had some placeholder words. Sometimes a songwriter would just make up little words that aren't going to be in the song but hold sort of a place. And inside that thing he had written was a reference to a train called the Orange Blossom Special. And I thought, oh shit, I don't really know anything about the Orange Blossom Special. Do I tell him? And I thought, well, you know, it's best to be honest when you're in a co-write. And I looked across from me, and you know, it was Vince Gill. Oh, Jesus. I said, Vince, I'm sorry, man. I don't know anything about the Orange Blossom Special. He said, yeah, I don't either. I said, all I know about it is that it's a bluegrass song that everybody plays and nobody likes. I said, well, you felt it should be in here for some reason. Maybe there's some clues in there. And so I Googled it to find out what it was. Turns out the Orange Blossom Special was a high-speed luxury train. It was a gorgeous machine. It was a fine, fine machine. It went from Manhattan to Miami. The sleeper cars were very, very comfortable. It was like little apartments on the rails. There was a beautiful restaurant in the Orange Blossom Special. It was a high-end restaurant. And I found a picture of a waiter in that dining car. Looked like fine china, silver, white linen. He was wearing a tuxedo. He was standing there with, I guess, a towel over his arm. He was looking really proud. He was looking like a man who had a job he was proud of. Probably a union job, to take care of his family with the money he made. And he spoke to me. Got that feeling like when I read that obituary from the hobo. Something was whispering to me, and that old man, well, he was a young man in the picture, but if you do the math, the train quit rolling in 53. That guy would be about 95, 96. So I looked at the picture of him, but I thought of him as an old man, and I figured he had probably a few things to say about sometimes, seen sometimes. And then, I swear to God, he started talking to me. And Vince heard it too, and this is what happened. I worked the Orange Blossom Special, 48 to 54, Manhattan to Miami. I worked in the dining car till Eisenhower built the interstates and jetliners sailed the skies and luxury trains were shuttered and the railroads up and died. Sometimes I have seen some time. Sometimes I have seen some time. They shot JFK and Bobby and Martin Luther King. These days guns are everywhere, Lord, they shooting everything. I saw my first black president, made me so proud I cried. Saw the insurrection, I can't say I was surprised. Sometimes I have seen some time. Sometimes I have seen some time. Now my life is almost done, but in my heart I do believe that we shall overcome. I pray for this world of sorrow, for a better tomorrow, that we might get there without the loaded years died 7 years ago. When I dream about her in my dreams, we are not old. If you see a locomotive rolling down the line, would you stop and think about us? If you hear a whistle whine, sometimes sometimes I have seen Drag Queens record at the City Winery. Star-studded cast of characters will be playing Mary Gaucher songs, which is a super exciting thrill for me. And one of them is Emmylou Harris. And she's chosen to play this song. And she's also requested that Jamie Harris play guitar with her. It's a super beautiful moment for me and Jamie, and it's coming at us pretty quickly. So here we go. Thank you. Yeah. most recent record is called Dark Enough to See the Stars. I pulled that out of a Martin Luther King Jr. speech in the Mountaintop speech. He preached about this, how sometimes it is in the darkness that we find ourselves. It's where we can find truth, and it's where things start to make sense. I don't know why human beings are built this way, but sometimes we have to go through it to get to it. car ready. That old dirty spillway water in the noonday sun. Daughters of Charity left their mark on me. Keeping secrets just makes you feel alone. Magazine Street stole from me. Never thought I'd find my way home. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Wake up in the morning, I thank God for you. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. Wake up in the morning and I thank God for you. Jonesing on a Greyhound bus with a 20-year ticket to torching mine. Sirens, sorrow, cigarette butts. Jesus in pieces, broken as a highway line. No one can take away. You saw through me, loving me anyway. And I thank God for you. Thank God for you. And then we'll change the stage over, and Robbie's going to come out. During the break, as we change over, I'd love to have you come back to the table. I did bring a bunch of books, and we've got some CDs, we got some records back there, we got t-shirts, and I'm also making these bolo ties these days, Topo Chico bottle caps. I hammer them flat on an anvil while I'm watching the news. They make a pretty nice little bolo. Somebody in Austin, a woman named Spike, taught me how to make these, and I love them. You want one? I got some back there as well. So we're going to wrap it up with this song I wrote in 2001. It's called Mercy Now. Thank Jesus back there on the dials. One more time for Jamie Harris, please. Could use some mercy now.